This is Marathon Training Academy, episode 346.
This podcast is brought to you by UCAN. UCAN's patented ingredient, Superstarch, has the remarkable ability to provide a steady release of energy without spiking blood sugar levels. Fuel your next personal best with UCAN and save 20% on your order with the code MTAChallenge. Just go to UCAN.co/MTA and use the code MTAChallenge to save 20% on your order.
Welcome to the Marathon Training Academy podcast, where we empower you to run a marathon and change your life. I'm Trevor.
And I'm Angie.
In this episode, you will learn how to use strength training to improve your power and endurance as a runner. And don't forget to get all kinds of help with your training inside the academy as a member or as a client working with one of our amazing coaches. Learn more when you visit marathontrainingacademy.com. All right. So, Angie, excited to dive into a strength training episode. I know you've been working on this for a long time, and this is something that you feel like really passionately about. Before we jump in, a little news came across the running world the last couple days, and that is that Dick Hoyt died.
Yeah, that's right. He was 80 years old and had been suffering from a prolonged illness. And people may recognize the name. Dick and Rick Hoyt had been a fixture of the Boston Marathon since 1980. When Dick first pushed his son, who was born a spastic quadriplegic with cerebral palsy. So they were very recognizable. They had actually begun doing other marathons around the country in 1977. And throughout multiple decades, they did dozens of marathons and triathlons together before the elder Hoyt retired from running several years ago. I think it was in 2014 they ran their final Boston Marathon together. But he was such an inspirational man and will definitely be missed.
For sure. Yeah, and that's Team Hoyt. If you haven't heard their story, definitely go Google them and read about them.
Also, the Boston Marathon announced that they're aiming for an in-person race field of 20,000 runners on their new date of October 11th. I guess registration starts for the in-person race on April 20th. And after that registration is complete, then they're going to open up the registration for the virtual edition of the race, which they're going to open up 70,000 spots. So it's exciting to see that they're moving forward, trying to make both portions of the race possible.
So you might actually get to go to the in-person Boston.
I might actually have a fall marathon on the calendar soon.
So what is going on out there in MTA land? Always cool things happening. We get these wonderful emails and messages, and we always love to read them here at the top of the show. So what do you got for us, Angie?
Yeah, we got this nice email from Jody. She says, "Hi, Angie and Trevor. I've been listening to your podcast since the very beginning, way back to the first episode when Trevor was mostly the tech guy and definitely not the runner he is now. I love the podcast, the information, interviews, and the encouragement it provides. The reason I'm writing is because of your recent interview with Dick Beardsley," and that was episode 343. She says, "I was lucky enough to run and compete with him on the track team at the University of Minnesota. At the time, I was a pretty fast sprinter relative to a small school, and Dick ran distance. I distinctly remember one day when Dick and I headed out for an easy run together just for fun. Well, I was running all out, and Dick loped along with that easy stride like it was nothing. Honestly, guys, I could not keep up, and I was sprinting. Pretty soon, I was watching his back as he put more and more distance between us, running like it was the easiest thing in the world while I gasped for breath. That is when I understood that I was in the presence of a truly great athlete. Dick was a really nice guy back then, and he has not changed. He is truly an inspirational person. Keep up the great work. I love listening to you when I run, and you really do help people believe in themselves."
That's cool. Well, thank you for sharing that story. If you haven't heard the Dick Beardsley episode, definitely go back. It was one of our most popular episodes this year. Thank you, Jody, for being a longtime listener.
That's right. This note is from Catherine. She says, "I recently completed my first half marathon with a friend after a hip flexor injury a few weeks ago. I did struggle halfway through, most especially at mile 11 when it was all uphill. I had leg cramps and my hip hurt, but I finished despite a crappy time. I'm just happy I finished, and that's all that matters. Because 2 years ago, I weighed 110 pounds more, could barely walk a mile, and had let depression take over. So if you told me I'd join a running group or ever do this, I would have laughed in your face. I I found self-improvement is everything. Nothing is out of reach if you work hard. And the fact that I did it all is something I can be proud of. P.S. I love this group. I don't post much, but I love the stories and support. Keep on keeping on.
Well, congrats, Catherine, on your weight loss journey and your running journey. Thanks for sharing that note with us and keep up the great work.
And this note comes from Katie. She says, I absolutely love this group. You are all such an inspiration to me. I was only able to complete one challenge due to being completely out of work thanks to the virus. However, I challenged myself to run 100 miles a month for a year to equal 1,200 miles, and I finished that amount a month early. I can't even begin to tell you how excited I am. It has been a tough road. I've hurt myself, I've run in the Alabama heat, and I've run in the cold and rain. And this month, I've literally run against myself, but I never gave up or gave in and have gone from a 9:43 pace to an 8:50 pace. Thanks to all of you who fight through hard things to better yourself and for sharing your struggles and wins. You've encouraged and changed this girl for life.
Awesome. And of course, she's in our group that we have for people doing our virtual challenges. We actually have a 100-mile, 300-mile, and now a 500-mile challenge. We have a medal we send out for each distance, a fun online run tracker, all kinds of good stuff. You can learn more about that when you visit our website. And big thanks to everyone who's participated.
Well on my way, well on my way.
All right, well, let's go ahead and jump into our episode on strength training. Angie, why did you decide to call this Choose to Get Stronger?
Well, I was thinking that, you know, usually we don't accidentally get stronger, right? Unless you're going through a growth spurt where you're a kid and your body naturally grows and gets stronger and puts on muscle. As adults, we really have to choose to get stronger. Otherwise, kind of the law of entropy, we tend to get weaker. So I thought it was really kind of a good way to introduce strength training, because this is something that I have seen to be so valuable in my life over the years. And it's actually something that we get a lot of questions about. In fact, anytime that we take questions for episodes, I usually get several about strength training. So I've kind of been saving them all
nice.
For this episode.
Yeah, it is kind of worrying every time I hear that statistic about how we lose muscle mass as we get older.
Yeah, and I'll dive into that in part one here. Here's an email we got from Patty. She says, I recently listened to Angie being interviewed on the Strength Running podcast. She mentioned the importance of strength training and using heavy weights. I would love to hear more about this from Angie on a podcast. I've read books, listened to experts on this topic for lifting heavy weights for runners, but I've never heard anyone's journey from the beginning. What did you do when you were just starting out? What specific exercises did you do? How did you know when it was time to increase the weights, etc.? She goes on, she says, I think hearing how Angie went through the process of lifting heavy would be so helpful for runners. So in part one, I really want to lay out the case for strength training, the benefits for runners. And then in part two, I'm going to really get into more like my journey and how to get started if you're a beginner or you haven't been strength training for some time.
All right, let's do it.
So before we get into some of the science about strength training, I just want to put out there that everyone has their own unique progression into doing regular strength training, and there's no one-size-fits-all formula. Also, I'll be sharing this from a perspective as a runner who's been experimenting on myself and, of course, doing a lot of reading on the topic. However, I'm not a strength coach or a personal trainer, so it's really important to seek guidance from someone who specializes in this area if you have questions about form or how to apply strength training specifically to your life. But, of course, we do know it is a choice to get stronger, and it's been a huge shift in my training and mindset when I decided to focus on being strong instead of just trying to be thin, which is a trap that I feel like a lot of runners fall into. So let's start out with some of the benefits of strength training for runners. And if you've been listening to the MTA podcast for any length of time, you've probably heard me mention at least some of these, but I feel like repetition is a great way to learn. So one of the first benefits of strength training for runners, it strengthens muscles, joints, and bones. High impact activity can take a toll on our joints as we age, but having strong muscles will stabilize and strengthen those joints. And as an added benefit, strength training strengthens bones against age-related degeneration. And this is especially important for women, things like osteoporosis. The second benefit is that it decreases injuries. Appropriately applied strength training can help protect from running injuries. Dr. Tim Noakes says in his book, The Lore of Running, quote, recent studies have shown that specific running injuries are associated either with imbalances in the relative strengths of different muscles acting at those sites or with weaknesses in specific muscles. There is clear evidence to suggest that acute muscle injuries can be prevented by strengthening muscles and eliminating muscle imbalances between opposing muscles.
And in case you're wondering, that's on page 783.
It's a long book.
At least of the edition that we have.
That's right. The third benefit is that it improves running form and economy. Long training runs, marathons, and ultras all take overall muscle strength. So if you feel like you're having trouble keeping good running form, or if your lower back is aching in the last few miles of your long run, it's probably because you need to build stronger muscles. Matt Fitzgerald says, quote, strength and power training improve communication between the brain and muscles in ways that enable you to run more efficiently and with less chance of injury. The fourth benefit of strength training for runners is that it increases endurance. Simply put, stronger muscles are going to work harder and longer for you. And if you're in marathon training, you'll need all the extra power you can get because, you know, it is a lot of work and it really can take a toll on the body if you're not careful to keep all your muscles strong.
Yeah, one interesting point that I've heard Dr. Ben Chateau say when he's been a guest on the show is that when you're getting into running, your lungs get conditioned way before your muscles do. So it feels like you can run for a longer time than you probably should because it takes more time for those joints and ligaments and muscles to make their adaptations than for your respiratory system.
Yeah, that's a great point.
So we're trying to help you work on the strength so that you can truly go out there and be an endurance runner without injury.
Number five, it helps you gain more speed. You'll get faster with focused strength training. That improved muscle strength will help you cover the ground more rapidly. Here's another good quote from Matt Fitzgerald. He says, quote, distance running is not often thought about as a power sport, but it is. As a competitive runner, and I'll put it in aside here, he means by competitive anyone who's trying to improve, your goal is to increase your speed, and speed comes directly from stride power. Running alone won't maximize your stride power. You have to supplement your running with specific power training. And finally, it helps you burn more calories. More muscle equals a higher metabolism, which helps you burn more calories 24/7. Research has shown that those who follow a strength training program for 2 months burned on average about 200 calories more per workout than those whose exercise regimen did not include strength training. So the benefits of strength training even continue when you're at rest. Your metabolism is elevated for a period of time after you work out, even if you're inactive during that time. Unlike the claims of some diet drugs, strength training may actually be the only thing that helps you lose weight while you sleep.
Wow.
Now I recognize even if people know the benefits of strength training, that it can be a struggle to integrate it into your routine. Some of this has to do with time constraints or not knowing what to do.
Another reason why people don't do strength training is maybe they can never get up the mojo to go to the gym and start lifting weights. I know for me, the easiest thing for me to do if I'm going to exercise is to just go out and run. Like that's the least resistance internally for me. And I've just now gotten into lifting heavy because I've been doing it with my brother-in-law. So we have this accountability, but just to go down and do it on my own, it's always been a struggle. And in our last episode, we had Dr. Daniel Lieberman from Harvard. And he talked about the evolution of exercise and how basically we as humans didn't evolve to exercise. Hunter-gatherer groups and ancient man, you know, were active hunting and gathering and
going about life.
Yeah, worrying about staying alive. They didn't have to run on a treadmill or lift dumbbells. So what I'm trying to say is if you don't feel motivated to hit the gym.
Or if your gym is closed.
Yeah. If you don't feel motivated to go down into your home gym and lift whatever contraptions that you have set up for yourself, that's okay. It's not like we should be naturally inclined to exercise because some of what we do for exercise is not natural. It's just what we've had to invent because of our Western lifestyles.
And that's one reason we've talked about on past episodes that habit beats motivation.
Yeah.
Because the habit is that practice that you just do whether you feel like it or not. And a lot of days you won't feel like it, you know, even for someone who likes to exercise. So some misconceptions that runners have about strength training. The first thing I hear a lot is that it's too intimidating. Many people find lifting weights to be intimidating primarily because they don't know where to start. And I felt the same way in the beginning. I think it's a very common thing to go through.
Yeah, me too.
There are so many different types of machines. There are free weights. There are thousands of exercises out there and routines, and it's easy to get lost in the weeds. And, you know, if you're at a gym setting, then you see sometimes these really fit looking people like throwing all this weight around, and it's like, ooh, I don't really belong over there. You know, you kind of have that feeling like
everyone's watching you.
You feel really awkward.
It reminds me of that the comedian Brian Regan, where he talks about going to the gym and he has no idea how to work any of the machines. And he's just moving stuff around in this one machine. And then finally a staff member comes and says, hey, buddy, could you get out of the paint scaffolding?
Yeah, and of course, there's like all these videos that make the rounds on social media, like people using equipment not for its intended purpose. And no one wants to be that person. So yeah. That's where some of the intimidation comes in. The second misconception is that I'll get slower. Some people are afraid that, quote unquote, too much muscle will prevent them from getting faster. In the running community, there's that notion that being lighter will automatically make you faster. And so a lot of runners shy away from strength training. But if you're a distance runner looking to improve your endurance, increase speed, and reduce the risk of injuries, you shouldn't be afraid to lift heavy weights. In my experience, strength training has helped me stay healthy and make improvements in my marathon times. And if you looked at the training regimens of elite distance runners, I would guess that most of them focus on strength training. They actually probably spend a lot of time in the gym.
Well, it does appear, Angie, that a lot of elite marathoners are very skinny. I mean, they don't look like they have much muscle compared to like a sprinter. So maybe you're going to talk about that, but there's definite difference in body types between sprinters and marathoners.
That's right. Another misconception is that I'll get too bulky if I strength train. The fear of adding, quote unquote, too much muscle mass has often led to the philosophy that endurance runners should only be doing light weights with higher repetitions. Of course, there's nothing wrong with light weights and higher reps, although there are fewer documented benefits associated with the style of strength training. So you're not getting the most bang out of your buck, basically, if that's the type of strength work that you do. But women especially shouldn't be afraid that they're going to bulk up. It really takes a lot of effort with training and nutrition for most people to put on significant amounts of muscle, especially for endurance runners who do a lot of cardio. In fact, it can be really hard for many people to put on muscle mass when you're doing a lot of cardio. Now, if you contrast the body composition of an elite distance runner, you know, your Olympic marathoner, and an elite sprinter, they are going to look very different. And this is based on, a lot of times, their genetics. Is based on their training and the specialization of their muscle fibers. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. Of course, the physique differences will be less pronounced in a non-elite runner. So
right.
Those of us who just run for fun and because we enjoy it and improves our lives, we, you know, often have a more balanced ratio of fast twitch and slow twitch muscle fibers. And we also do less specialized training as a general rule. I saw a recent Runner's World article that had a headline that caught my attention. It said, hey, runners, you need to start lifting heavier weights. That's like instant clickbait for me, you know. The article went on to say, quote, most runners need more muscle mass or strength and control in the muscle mass they have to boost their performance. So that was pretty interesting. So obviously, I think the importance of building strength is so important that I've included cross-training days in the training plans that I've developed, and I always included it on my coaching clients' plans as well. In fact, it's particularly vital to encourage women runners to develop and maintain a strength training routine for life. The sad fact is that around age 30, women begin to lose muscle density, and lean muscle mass decreases at about 3% per decade between the ages of 30 and 80. And you've referenced the book Exercise by Daniel Lieberman, Trevor. He talks about how doing a combination of cardio and strength training is key to pushing back against chronic disease and to maintain mobility with age. Stacy Sims, PhD, is a researcher who has been highly influential in the way I've started to think about strength training as well as nutrition. And she says, quote, as a woman, you have few precious natural resources as important as your muscles. They are what keep you strong, able, and independent. Her book, Roar, subtitled How to Match Your Food and Fitness to Your Female Physiology for Optimum Performance, Great Health, and a Strong Lean Body for Life.
That was a long book title.
I know. She packed a lot in there. And she really talks about how to avoid the strength declines that come with aging. And she says this, quote, researchers in the landmark Framingham study drove this strength decline home when they reported that 40% of women between the ages of 55 and 64, 45% of women between 65 and 74, and 65% of women between 75 and 84 could not lift 10 pounds.
Wow.
So that's not a lot of weight, and it's pretty scary, those numbers there. She goes on to say, as women, we start out with less muscle than our male peers, and we lose more with age because our hormones aren't conducive to muscle making. Estrogen can stall anabolic growth, and progesterone turns up muscle catabolism. So it's harder for us to make muscle, but it's not impossible. It just means you need to train hard. I mean, high-intensity power training, heavy lifting for pure strength. This kind of training stimulates your neuromuscular system, activating the maximum amount of muscle fibers. It also keeps those high-energy, powerful type 2 muscle fibers engaged, which is essential because they're needed for speed and they're the first to go. Research shows that when endurance athletes slow down with age, a major reason why is because their muscles simply aren't contracting as quickly and as powerfully as they used to. This slowdown is preventable and fixable with strength training. Strong legs lead to a more powerful foot strike and rebound off the ground when you're running. Resistance training also strengthens your connective tissues and helps you avoid injury.
Well, let's unpack that in a second. I do want to take a quick moment to thank our episode sponsor, UCAN. I know what it's like to go into a strength training session with not a lot of energy, and you don't get more energy as you're doing it. So it's important to fuel well for running, of course, but also for strength training and cross training. And UCAN works great for both. In fact, I'll have a UCAN bar before a run and also before I go and lift weights. And of course, they've been a longtime sponsor of ours. We've used their superstarch, either their drink mix or their bars at countless marathons, half marathons, and just long runs and strength training sessions.
Yeah, that's right. And they've recently released this amazing snack mix. This great stuff to have on hand, whether you're looking for a recovery snack after you work out or if you're looking for something to help fuel your workout, UCAN's got you covered.
You can get 20% off with the code MTAChallenge. Just go to ucan.co/MTA and use the code MTAChallenge all together, one word, MTAChallenge, and you'll get 20% off. And thanks also to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this episode. It is a breakfast cereal with zero sugar, between 13 and 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs. You know, as we talk about building muscle, it's important to make sure you have enough protein in your diet. And this is another way to get in more protein. And it's a lot of fun because the cereal's like, it makes you feel like a big kid. In fact, growing up, eating cereal was like one of my favorite parts of the morning.
Oh, the cereal we had at my house was really boring. It was like the plain Cheerios and plain Corn Flakes. Yeah.
Your mom was pretty strict, that's for sure. But now, Angie, it's all better because you get Magic Spoon.
That's right. It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. Just head over to magicspoon.com/MTA, and you can grab a variety pack to try it today. And if you use our promo code MTA at checkout, you save $5 off your order. magicspoon.com/MTA, and use the code MTA to save $5.
So that's pretty incredible, this quote from Stacey Sims that 40% of women between the ages of 55 and 65 could not lift 10 pounds. It underscores the bigger point, which is that as we get older, we lose muscle mass, we lose strength, and most people are not getting the recommended amount of exercise per day, which would include just walking, but actual purposeful strength training, probably not a lot of people are doing it.
Yeah, that's right. And I think as runners, you know, we're already doing such a great thing to get in cardiovascular exercise, but sometimes we let the ball drop when it comes to lifting heavy stuff. And if we want to stay strong and mobile and independent throughout our whole lifespan or as long as we can, it's really important to lift that heavy stuff. So Dr. Sims gives some good recommendations that I think are kind of easy to remember and some good guidelines. The first thing she recommends is to lift heavy. Far too many runners, specifically women, still do not lift weight that's heavy enough to stimulate hypertrophy, which is muscle growth. So for muscle growth to happen, you need to challenge your muscles so they break down and repair bigger and stronger. So she recommends that you lift enough weight so the maximum you can do is 5 to 8 reps. If you can do more than that, then you need to add more weight to it.
Angie, how have you been able to do that without injuring yourself?
Well, good question. Her point number 2 is to use good form.
Ah.
Focus on good form from the time you start strength training because it's so important to maintaining maximum mobility and avoiding injury. So you should never strain to get another rep if you can't maintain good form. It's really important to get expert help, to, you know, have a few sessions with a strength coach, or even video your form, you know, because sometimes what we think we're doing and what we're actually doing is two different things.
Yep.
And if you feel any kind of pain, you know, other than normal strain as you lift something heavy, then just call it quits on that rep because it's not going to help you and it could lead to injury. And the third recommendation is to lift often. Try to fit strength training into your schedule 2 to 3 days a week. Now, these don't have to be hour-long sessions either. When you're starting out, even 15 to 20 minutes per time can be beneficial.
So if you're lifting heavy, let's say you're doing squats, do you warm up at all before you just go in there and like put all this weight on the bar?
I do. I mean, I usually do a few squats with just the bar, which is 45 pounds.
Yeah.
Obviously, depending on where you're at, just even doing a few body weight squats with good form to warm up can be helpful. And I've usually run first as well. I recently saw Dr. Sims' recommendations illustrated on elite runner Stephanie Rothstein's Instagram page about how she's been focusing on lifting heavy in her training. And I thought I'd share it. Stephanie says, quote, "When I started lifting heavy about 8 years ago, that's when I noticed a strong correlation with staying injury free. I'm able to put in more miles, take risks in training, and my closing speed increased. After giving birth to my two boys, I've worked my way up to a 95-pound back squat and will eventually build up to squatting above my body weight. Before this point, my adductors and hips could barely handle a glute bridge, so it took time and patience and building a foundation. I aim to lift 2 to 3 times per week. A typical session will include either a back squat or deadlift as the heaviest weight I'll lift. My single leg squats and RDLs or Romanian deadlifts range between 25 to 44 pounds. I also mix in about 6 to 8 core, hip, and hamstring exercises in each session." She says, "Strength is speed, strength is power, strength is strength." And I thought that was a really good illustration of this is an elite runner who looks like an elite runner, and she's working up to squatting above her body weight. So wow. She's not afraid to lift heavy.
So I know you're going to share more about this in part two, but you've been strength training faithfully now for a good while. How have you seen it affect your running? If you can just give us a teaser. You feel like you have more power when you go out, like powering up hills or?
Yes. I kind of started my strength training journey when we moved here to Pennsylvania. At the time, we'd moved from a pancake flat area, and where we live, I mean, there's hills, like you can't go too far out our door without having to run a hill. And I could not run any of the hills. It was embarrassing. I mean, I was a marathoner and I couldn't run hills. And so I've seen my strength on hills increase. I can run hills easily that I used to have to walk. My half marathon and marathon times have dropped despite me getting older. And I know that strength training has been one huge key. And I feel like I recover more easily too. You know, I still have to be careful not to get injury. And there'll be times when I have niggles, but by doing specific strength exercises, I can work around that and deal with things that might turn into injuries just through specific strength work.
Nice.
Trail Runner Magazine had an article entitled "A Trail Runner's Guide to Strength Training," which I thought was really helpful. So you may not be a person who's interested in doing road marathons necessarily, but even if you are a trail runner, strength training can be super helpful. It said, quote, "Over the last few years, more runners have begun to add weightlifting to their training regimens, and that's good. Substantial research shows that strength training enhances performance and helps prevent injury. It makes sense. Strong muscles and tendons are what make you fast, efficient, and durable. Furthermore, lifting weights may even improve cognitive function, and muscular strength is protective against all-cause mortality." So you want your brain to work better and have less chance of dying? Strength training is where it's at.
I'm pretty convinced now.
I thought before we wrapped up this episode, we would talk a little bit about the two main types of skeletal muscle, because this is one of the questions that I had earlier. So skeletal muscle is composed of both slow twitch and fast twitch muscle fibers. Slow twitch fibers are often called type 1 fibers, and they're smaller fibers that are generally used for slower and more sustained movements, and they fatigue less quickly. They've got a better blood supply, and their contractions are mostly aerobic or with oxygen. So most long distance running is going to employ more slow twitch fibers. On the other hand, fast twitch fibers are type 2 or larger, and they're involved in bigger and more powerful movements. They're generally powered through anaerobic means or without oxygen, and they fatigue more quickly. So this makes them perfect for sprinting, jumping, and powerlifting movements. Now, I mentioned it earlier, but the ratio of slow twitch to fast twitch fibers is influenced by your genetics, your training, and your age. I've read that for a person who is non-athletic, they usually have about a 50-50 split between type 1 and type 2 fibers. Now, top sprinters will have approximately 70 to 75% fast twitch or type 2 fibers. So you see the bigger, more bulkier muscles, while top marathoners may have upwards of 70 to 80% slow twitch or type 1 fibers. And you typically see that competitive marathoners are a lot leaner than the sprinters. As Dr. Sims illustrated earlier, there are age-related changes, so without strength training, there can be a rapid decline in fast-twitch fibers. That's why many people see unwanted body composition changes and decreased mobility with age, because you lose those type 2 fast-twitch fibers. One way to build and maintain more fast-twitch fibers is through strength training. And interestingly enough, one purpose of tapering before a key race is to improve the strength and power of both types of muscle fibers.
So that's interesting. How does tapering before a race help improve both types of fibers? Where's the correlation?
Well, there's been a lot of research into this. I think they first started researching with competitive swimmers, and they found that 2 to 3 weeks before a goal race, by decreasing both the distance and the intensity of your workouts gradually, it helps your body recover. So those muscle fibers that have been strained during training are able to build back to capacity, kind of like almost like store up energy so that when you require a lot of them on race day, they're ready to go and they're not still like, oh, I'm tired and sore from my last workout kind of thing.
Well, this is good stuff. And we do have quite a few books around our house on this subject. Some of them were referenced here. And if you're curious, there's the book Roar by Stacey Sims, How to Match Your Food Fitness to Your Female Physiology for Optimum Performance, Great Health, and a Strong Lean Body for Life. Obviously, it's a book written for women. Roar by Stacey Sims. We also have a book called Glute Lab, The Art and Science of Strength and Physique Training by Brett Contreras. Then there's, of course, Exercised by Daniel Lieberman, Why Something We Never Evolved to Do is Healthy and Rewarding. And then another book we didn't reference, but also has tons of like good practical tips and even illustrations of how to strength train and improve your running form is a book called Run for Your Life by Dr. Mark Cucuzella.
Another fairly well-known book and one of my favorites in the area of strength training is called Becoming a Supple Leopard, The Ultimate Guide to Resolving Pain, Preventing Injury, and Optimizing Athletic Performance by Dr. Kelly Starrett. It's great with illustrations on how to get better mobility before you start lifting heavy and different things like that.
So you can become a supple leopard.
That's right. Yeah, I encourage people to stay tuned for part two, where I'm going to go more into my strength training journey. And if you're new to this, how to get started.
Well, that brings us to the end of this episode. Thank you so much for being a listener. If we can help you in any way, please reach out. We have a contact form on our website and all kinds of stuff going on over there. Resources for runners, back podcast episodes, and our coaching services. Check us out at marathontrainingacademy.com. Well, until next time, keep taking action in your health. And remember, you have what it takes to run a marathon and change your life. Run on my way.